Peter chapter number 5. Glad the Lord Jesus has changed everything. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter said that he had received a little bit of heaven down here. I'm glad we can receive some heaven down here. He said, feed the flock of God, which is among you. He's speaking now to these elders or these pastors of the early church. He said, take in the oversight thereof. And I found out if the pastor don't take the oversight, somebody else will. Especially the devil. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. A mind that is engaged and aware of what's going on. You can be seated. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know, a preacher can only preach, but it's up to you what you do with the preaching. I can't go home with you and try to make you do what this Bible says do. You either are saved by the grace of God, got the Holy Ghost that lives in you, apply it. Listen to it. He said, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, by the way, Jesus is coming. And you better be born again by the grace of God or hell will be your home. There is no in between. Because He's coming. It don't matter what anybody else said. Jesus is coming. And He said that you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away for you. What a day when we receive a crown. We can take them, not that we'll wear them in glory, but that we cast them at Jesus' feet. And He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's always been a big problem in America, in homes, in churches. Nobody wants to submit to authority. God has a structure. If you get out of that structure, you're headed to trouble. He says, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yeah, and of you be subject one to another. This right here would fix most every family. It'd fix every church. It'd fix everything that's going wrong. Be clothed with humility. And be of subject one to another. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know why you headed to a bad place? Because you big-headed. Nobody can tell you nothing. You think you know everything. That's why you headed for a crash landing. Now He says this. Humble yourselves. You see that? Humble yourselves. Now, if I try to take something in my own hands, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mess it. I'd love to straighten some folks out. But it always backfires. And look what this Bible says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the who? Under the who? He's got a mighty hand today. That He may exalt you in due time. Just stay in your place. And God will be sure you've seen about. He's proved that to me. Now here it is, verse 7, what I want to get to. casting all your cares. That's anxieties. That's frustrations. That's doubts upon Him. Not upon your preacher. Not upon your neighbor. Not upon your wife. Not upon your husband. Upon Him. You know why? Because He can handle it. He can handle it. By the way, this is a Jesus ministry. This is the Lord's church. There's nothing too big for our God. Casting all your care. If you're not careful, you're going to be so filled with the cares and the heartaches of this life, it's going to bring you and what you got down. And Jesus said, I want you to cast it all on Him. I'm glad He can handle our trouble this morning. And this is where we want to get. A lot of times we want to come in and play church and say, I ain't got no problem. Oh, honey, I know one problem you got, you and me. But aren't you glad we got a God can handle all your situations? He can handle your enemy. He can handle your mean in-laws. I wasn't going to preach on the home today, but I believe I will anyway. Family brings frustration. And if you're not careful, you're going to put your nose where it don't belong, and God can't honor you doing right. Casting all your care upon Him. I've noticed this. I ain't got time to straighten nobody else out. I'm too busy on me. Now he says this. Be sober. Be vigilant. This is why he said it. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking. I'm going to tell you, he's looking for you this morning. And I'm going to tell you why he's looking for you, because you got up and you come to a place that preaches the Bible. He's looking for you. Some of you are trying to do right at your home and on your job and your daily devotions and your prayer life. I want to remind you there's an adversary. And this is where the devil will get a church all crossed up at. Your neighbor ain't your adversary. It's mainly you the biggest adversary and the devil second. I'm my biggest trouble. He says this. He seeketh whom he may devour. He don't want to cripple you. He wants to destroy you. Whom, look what it says, resist steadfast in the faith. Now, you got to know something about your Bible to resist the devil. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're not the only generation that's had a tough time. Matter of fact, we're the most blessed generation that knows the least about God that's ever lived. I know in my spirit, just as the pastor taking the oversight thereof, I want to tell you today that the Lord loves you. He sent His Son to hang on a cross to take your sin, young man, and my sin, that you may look toward the Lord Jesus by faith. Accept Him as your Savior and be saved. What a promise that we can go to heaven this morning. But it's one way. That's by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to you to see in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do we resist him steadfast in the faith? First of all, we got a Bible. Tells us who our enemy is. Tells us how weak we are. Tells us how much we need him. Young people, if it's ever been a day that you need the Lord in your family, it is today. The world's not your friend, it's an enemy. It'll draw you away from God. So you got to realize that there's some things that you've got to resist. You got to be steadfast in the faith. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. We're headed to glory land world where things are eternal. This is temporal. Quit driving your tent stakes down too deep. We're just passing through here. After you've suffered a while, I don't know why people have to suffer, but I know I've had to. And I've noticed this, that it becomes a lifestyle, that it becomes so frequent. But knowing this, He will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, I want you to turn with me over in your Bibles to the book of Matthew's Gospel. And chapter number 6 and verse 25. Matthew's Gospel 6, 25. Now, the Lord is talking. And He says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, in verse 25, for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I want to say something to you. God's going to see about you. Don't think God's forgot about where you are this morning. God is a God that sees every place at the same time. Nothing takes Him by surprise. He sees about all of His children, not corporately, but individually. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to His stature? In other words, you that's worrying about it so, and it's got you consumed and worried, He said, how can that help anything? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or drink? Or how shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day that the evil is. Now, I want you to realize that a lot of times life brings so many frustrations. There's family frustration. People that you wish that could just realize how you feel about the situation. But if you're not careful, you'll get so filled with that struggle in your life, you'll overreact and you'll say something that will destroy a total relationship. Be careful what you say. The older I've got, the less I try to talk. Now, some of you, no doubt, the devil's convinced you that he can't help you. But I'm going to tell you something. God can do anything. And just because you can't see Him doing something don't mean He's not doing something. Now, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to read out of chapter number 4, Nehemiah 4. Nehemiah, a great wall builder. The temple had been destroyed. The gates were burned. The walls were torn down. The Lord sent a message to young Nehemiah. He gets busy building. As Nehemiah started building, he faced opposition. I want to remind you, anytime you're trying to build a family, you're going to face opposition. Anytime you're trying to build a life for Christ, you're going to face opposition. And don't think just because you're facing opposition that you're doing something wrong this morning. The Bible said, verse number 4 of Nehemiah 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they provoke thee to anger before the builders." So we built the wall. All the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And that's what our church needs to get involved in. Not only do we have a mind to work, we need to have a heart to work. There's other folks counting on you this morning. "So it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." The devil got upset because he's trying to build things right. And I remind you, when you're trying to build your family right, the devil ain't going to take it laying down. He'll have you fussing, fighting Saturday night and Sunday morning when you get up because he knows where you're headed to. It amazed me how me and Mr. Ray and them girls could get along real good till Sunday morning. You ever tried getting ready with three girls in the house with one mirror? The Bible said they conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem. Look, in verse 8, I want you to underline this. I want you to always remember this. You or the devil can't stop God's work, but you can hinder it. I don't want to hinder it. I appreciate a young man this morning that'll stand up and get her service going real good with the Holy Ghost. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm going to stop that church." You can't stop. How can you stop God? How are you going to kill Him? You can't drown Him. He'll walk on water. You can't burn Him up, throw Him in the fire, He'll walk around. You put Him on the cross, He'll bow His head and say, "It's finished." "I'm not finished, but He said it's finished." I'm glad our God is alive today. And He's on His throne. And He knows about every need that everybody's got in the house today. I'm glad my God ain't a little pot-bellied gold man sitting on the counter by a cash register. I'm glad you can't put my God in the trunk and keep Him there. Somebody got to come by and turn the key and let their God out. Not our God. He said in verse number 9, "But nevertheless we made our prayer." See, this is something that you can never forget about. We can never, never neglect what they've done. They prayed. He says, but nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, they began to make fun of them then. The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. They started murmuring among themselves. Our adversary said, thou shalt not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them, slay them, cause the work to cease. Came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt with them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return to us, they will be upon you. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said the nobles to the rulers, the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. That's what some of you need to do. You need to remember what God's done for you. God's never let you down. God ain't going to let you down this morning. Storms may have come to your house, but let me tell you, He's the God of the storms today. Be not afraid of them, and remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Now, underline this. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known to us and God had brought their counsel or not, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. We've got work to do in the kingdom of Christ. Yes, sir, we're going to face opposition in our life personally. Every day of my life, you listen to me, I got saved in 1981. That's what, 35 years? I've been saved 35 years by the grace of God. And every day of my life, I wake up and I find opposition facing me before I even leave my house. And it's not with my wife. It's the flesh. It's the world. And it's the devil. It's a battle. And you folks that are staying together as a family unit, the devil's going to try his best to get you crossed at one another. It'd do some of you good just to tell your wife or your husband, I'm sorry. If you want to have the last word, that'd cure a whole lot of arguments. I'm sorry. And it don't go good against the flesh. Because when I'm right, I'm right. I know y'all ain't got that problem. And then I want to say something in our church. If you think the devil's smiling where you come to church, you're wrong and you don't know what this Bible says. I've noticed this, if the devil can't get the preacher, he'll get those that are closest to it. I've noticed if the devil can't get you, he'll get those the closest to you. Because he knows it hurts you. Now, I want to show you something that I've seen this week. And I'm about done preaching. I'm going to get Megan or Macy, ever which one to come this morning. I want to play. But I want to show you something in the book of Acts. And that's what you've got to realize. Now, I want you to understand, God's give you a preacher. And this is what I want to tell you this morning in Acts chapter number 28. I want you to turn there and I want you to look at it in Acts chapter number 28. I never seen it till this week. One of the greatest passages in your Bible, Paul in his last days had found his life shipwrecked. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Brother Mike, wouldn't it be a blessing? Brother Gerald, wouldn't it be a blessing if the older we got, the smoother sailing it got, but it just don't happen that way. Brother Randall, wouldn't it be nice the older we got in the Lord, it just smooth sailing? Brother Lee, wouldn't that be a blessing? Just wake up in the morning, pop your little sail up and get you a cup of coffee and look out across the boat and say, boy, ain't this just wonderful. Now, his daddy told me one time, I read this Bible story to him. He said, Ken, I've been studying that over in Acts you're talking about. And he said, I thought sure, just like Paul, the older I got, he said, I'd have life a lot easier. He said, and this is a Georgia word, he said, I declare. And I've heard I be Johnny. I don't know where he's at. But I declare it gets harder every day I live. Now, this is what I've seen this week. I want to share it with you. I hope it'll help somebody. Oh, I hope it'll help somebody. Acts 28, verse 1. The Bible says, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. I sure am glad when your boat's tore up, you can get around somebody that knows how to build a fire. Because it's cold outside. You don't believe it? Turn on Fox News. They are double crazy. And CEN, so liberal, makes somebody want to puke. Say amen. Because of the present rain. Look now. Watch what happens. Follow me now. Acts 28:3. When Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, see, it's only going to get as big as what you put on it. They laid them on the fire. Now watch. There came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. Now, I've noticed this. Anytime you're trying to build up your family, anytime you're trying to build your children, anytime you're trying to build your relationship, or even you're working, you're trying to build a strong church in the house of God, you always remember this. They came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. Verse 5, here it is. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now this is what I seen, Brother Jason. He didn't say when that snake bit him that he felt no hurt. But it felt no harm. I'm going to tell you, it does hurt when a snake bites you. I was fishing one time. Y'all remember when bell-bottom blue jeans was in style and stacked shoes and bouffant hairdos? Some of y'all remember. Some of you just hate you, remember. I was fishing one morning, had on bell-bottom jeans, and I felt something shaking me like a dog. And I looked down, there's a snake struck me in my bell bottoms. And by the grace of God, I'm glad Jesus was looking about me when I know nothing about Him. That snake hit in my blue jeans, He was shaking me. And friend, when I kicked, I like to knock my hip out of joint. But I guarantee you one thing, Brother John, I warned him off me. It'd do you good to shake him off this morning. Man, every time God will go to blessing your family, here he comes. You say, preacher, how low will he go? Oh, he'll go lower than what me and you ever seen. And I noticed this, Paul had an option when he got bit. He could have laid down and died, or he could have shook him off. That venom would have stayed in him. Ain't no doubt he'd have died. You say, Brother Ken, did it hurt him? Or are you crazy? You know it hurt him. That's like that woman. I was fishing one time over here, and I reached and got a fish out. Had them wide gap hooks, Brother Troy, and that fish slung his head. Brother Jerry, that hook went in my thumb to the bone. I had braided fishing line. I cut it off, went down to the Mercer Room in Carrollton. This woman asked me the most craziest thing. I walked in there, that big old four-aught hook running in my thumb and fishing line. She said, did that hurt? I said, I met my crazy this morning. Sure it hurts. I'm not belittling hurt. But ain't you glad we got somebody we can take a hurt to? He didn't say it didn't hurt him, didn't harm him. And if God allows things in your life, honey, I'm going to tell you, it will hurt you. But but it won't harm you. Because our God can do no wrong this morning. Everything He does is right. Megan, hon, if you'd come, won't you just play, or Macy, you come on, Macy.